All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're watching Oilers Nation every day with Tyler Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
Toffoli is available, and I haven't wanted a player this bad since, well, since Connor Brown. Let's get into it with the lead. Welcome into Oilers Nation every day. Is our audio right? Someone said volume in the chat. I don't know what that means. Anyways, welcome into Oilers Nation every day, live from the Sports Closet Studio, Monday edition of the show. What was that, Liam?
I think sometimes the intro is like weirdly loud. Not through anybody's fault in this studio.
Maybe Aaron's. No, I don't know.
But it's just like a loud one. Oh,
our feet touched.
Feet touched.
Couple That's minutes a quick into the
one.
Show.
121 in.
Yep. Right at the start. All right. We have a lot to get to today on the program. Like I said, Tyler Toffoli is available, question mark. We're going to talk about Frank Saravalli's new top 10 with a little rumor roundup. If you didn't read the title of the show, we have Chris Pronger on today.
Yep, Chris Pronger. That was pretty cool.
It was pretty sweet.
That guy is massive. There was a moment, I don't know if you saw this, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an average size man. 5'11" and 3/8".
Yeah, sure. And I would say I'm an above average sized man, about 6'2", 6'3", depending on the day.
A little shorter than Luke Gazdick.
Yeah, depending on where you measure from.
So the toes, of course. So we do the interview with Mr. Pronger and he goes to leave. And did you guys see him walk through the door?
Yeah, I almost say that.
Holy moly. Like that guy, if I was that tall, I would flinch every time I walked through a door. He's literally like, if his hair was any longer, touch it every
time. That's why he can't have a mohawk.
That's why. Yeah, he did say that in the interview, actually.
It's not a live interview with our guy, Chris Pronger, because basically he's doing like a bunch of media rounds. And the only time, or we wanted to be the first ones of the day. That's what we'll say. We wanted to be the first ones of the day.
Yeah.
So we woke up this morning at, my alarm went off at 6:20.
Mine went off at 6:10, lazy bones.
Ah. 6 a.m. for me.
Ah, son of a gun.
Grind it. But somehow I was the first one at the studio.
Because you live the closest.
Good point. but we were all at the Sports 1440 studio at 7 in the morning. Got everything set up on Friday. So we worked late Friday and then started early Monday. Jay, if you're watching, charging overtime. And we got set up and we crushed out the interview with Chris, 15 solid minutes, 06 memories, some talk about the whiskey, some Canadian Olympic stories as well. I won't ruin the whole thing for you, but it was a really good chat. We're going to get to that at about the midway point of the show. But Lots to get to from the Sports Closet studio today, including the fact that the Oilers are coming off an absolute shit stomping of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yeah. That game was not even close. Not even close.
Yeah, and kind of, I'm very happy the Edmonton Oilers destroyed the Pittsburgh Penguins yesterday. But I'm a little disappointed that it wasn't a great game for Crosby and McDavid to like go head to head on. Like, we don't have many of those left. I was really hoping for a bit of a battle between them, but wasn't the Penguins' day, and the Oilers took care of them. The amount of like odd man rushes the Oilers got and just clear breakaways on the Djokovic, poor guy. I actually don't even think he played that bad considering he allowed six, but the Oilers just did great day after great day after great day and took care of business and got some goals from some guys who aren't always chipping in, right? So it was good to see on that front a weekend where the stars showed up, of course, like they always do, but your secondary scoring was there as well. And they're climbing up the Pacific Division, four games now in hand against Vancouver and only 9 points behind. So these last, what are we, 21 games away, I think, till the end of the season is going to be epic. 23 games, sorry.
Yeah, man, four-game winning streak now for the Edmonton Oilers. And as you take a peek at the Pacific Division standings, they're 3 points up on Vegas with two games in hand. You're nine back of the Canucks with four games in hand. The Oilers have put themselves in another really, really strong spot. So, yeah, that was a great dub. Full marks to them for that win over Pittsburgh. I think it was Gregor who was the one that tweeted out. So Pittsburgh, they obviously lost Saturday night in Calgary, and that was a tough loss. Oh, yeah. Like, I would imagine that leaves you feeling pretty down in the dumps about your playoff chances when you're up 3-1 against a team like Calgary, who granted has been playing decent hockey as of late, but is not a Stanley Cup contender. Like, Pittsburgh probably had that one circled on the road trip as like 2 points we're going to get. You blow that 3-1 lead. You don't even get a point because of the late game winner from Nazem Kadri. And then, as Gregor pointed out on Twitter, their flight gets delayed. Their plane is frozen, whatever the hell it was. They couldn't leave Calgary till like 4 a.m. Which, when you start to do the math, it's like you leave Calgary at 4 a.m., you land in Edmonton just before 5. By the time you get to the hotel, settle in, probably like 6 in the morning if you're the Pittsburgh Penguins. They played like a team that landed 13 hours before puck drop.
I get all of that. What I will say is these guys all fly private, right?
Yeah.
Was there not an opportunity just to book a hotel in Calgary if you knew your flight was going to be so delayed and then just fly out in the morning? It's like an hour, right? Like, I'm not saying that's not ideal, and I can see why that had an error in that game last night, but it's like, just go away to the airport hotel. They can bunk up the night if they need to. Four people per room.
Sleep.
Sid, Malkin, Letang, Carlson.
Just like the old days.
Yeah, hang out with the boys, you know? But I think unfortunate situation for them. Crazy snowstorm, actually, on Saturday to Sunday. Jazz came up for the Greta Brunch for Ben, which I'm sure we'll get into at some point as well. It's just how great that was. But she was putting pictures on her Instagram story of how bad it was driving back. And we've all driven on the QE2 when it's hectic. Mm-hmm. Now imagine like trying to fly a plane. Brutal.
Mike D says, Calgary Airport is a joke right now. I sat on the runway for 2 hours last night. I feel for you. There's nothing worse. Like, at least if you're delayed when you're in the airport, it's like, go crush another beer, get a bite to eat, sit, whatever. When you are delayed inside the plane, that is hell. That's torture.
Do we have time for a quick story?
Mm-hmm.
So a few years ago, I was going back to England. And we were in Calgary because you can get direct flights, Calgary to Manchester.
Yeah.
And we got delayed. I can't even remember how long it was, but basically we were on the plane. It felt like for 3 hours. I'm pretty sure they had to defrost our plane twice.
Oy.
And it got to a point where our pilots had ran out of
hours. Yeah.
And they announced over the intercom and were like, yeah, so we're going to make a stop in Iceland because we've ran out of hours and we had to change pilots. Or we can stop in Belfast, but we don't know if we'll make it. So, what does that mean?
What do you mean you don't know? What do
you
mean
you don't know if we'll make it? Is this because you don't have enough hours? Or we simply wouldn't get there? There we go. My dad's in the chat. 5 hours on the runway. Crazy. 5 hours on the runway. It took us forever to get home. We ended up stopping in Iceland. They love putting eggs in their sandwiches in Iceland. It's a bit deceiving. Be careful if you're ever going.
Like a whole egg shell
just
on?
Just like random, like mixed in eggs and everything. Crazy.
Okay. Yeah. Back to the hockey game.
Live a little.
Just laugh a little. Push through to Belfast. But like, so like, we don't know if we'll make it.
I don't know what that
if
means.
If it's a matter of the hours, like, what do you have to emergency land?
I don't know. Luckily, we never found out. We stopped in Reykjavik, I believe it is pronounced.
Sure.
And yeah, we stopped there and we were there for like, maybe, I don't know, maybe a couple hours. Very frustrating from what was already a crazy travel day. Crazy snowstorm that day.
All right. Getting back to the hockey game. Let's talk a little bit more about that win over the Pittsburgh Penguins. It was never close. And again, the reason we got into this airport conversation, like there were a lot of factors working against the Penguins. The travel, not good. Playing their third game in four nights, coming off a crushing loss to the Calgary Flames, missing Gensel, missing Brian Rust, two legitimate top six wingers. If you have those two guys 100% healthy and in the lineup, then you're probably generating a bit more offensively, which was part of the problem is that when Pittsburgh would get the puck in Edmonton's zone, it was one and done's at best.
Well, you just look at some of the players they had, right, in place of those guys, like Valtteri Puustinen.
Yep.
Never heard of him before yesterday. Jonathan Gruden, pretty sure he's a football coach.
He is.
So it's just like you take out those guys, like you said, put in Brian Rust, Jake Gensel. It's going to make a world of difference. And it just... They weren't the Pittsburgh Penguins that we all knew and loved, right? They're coming to an end. And somebody tweeted yesterday, Rob Rossi.
Ah, yes. Great reporter.
Yeah, in the Pittsburgh area. He's been covering this team forever. And he said, he's just like, it's crazy that this team has lost guys like Jared McCann, Marino, and it was one other player put in there as well. I can't remember who it was.
Mike Matheson.
Mike Matheson. And he's like, now they're in a situation where they can't re-sign Jake Gensel because they've like opted to keep all these other guys instead and like trade in for Eric Karlsson, keep Jeff Carter, the expansion draft. It's just like the asset management of this team has just gone absolutely down the drain. And quite frankly, they have nobody else to blame but themselves.
The thing that just we get a lot of talk. Think about in Toronto where it's like, oh my God, you're paying your big guns so much money. Like it's not a good strategy. We always hear in Edmonton, people love, you know, complaining about the Darnell Nurse contract or whatever, but I will stand by this. You will very rarely get yourself in trouble paying your good players.
For sure.
Where teams get themselves in trouble is like you said, $5 million bringing in 32-year-old Riley Smith. Why did you have to do that? Why did you have to do that when Jake Gensel's a pending UFA and you know he works in your top six and Smith has term? If you don't have that $5 million from Riley Smith on your books next year, you might be able to afford re-signing Jake Gensel. If you don't give Noel Achari got a 3-year deal at $2 million with a modified no trade clause. Mm-hmm. Why would you do that if you're Kyle Dubas? Jeff Carter, $3.1 million. I know at least he expires at the end of this year. Lars Eller, another year at 2.45. You didn't need Riley Smith. Lars Eller, good organizations go and get their veterans for 900K. I know, listen, Eller's better than a guy like Derek Ryan. I'm not trying to argue he's not. But at least when the Oilers go do the loyalty thing with these depth pieces, they go sign Derek Ryan for 900K. They go sign Matthias Janmark for 1 year, $1 million, right? I just kind of look at this and I'm like, and I know Mulek said that wasn't Dubas. A lot of this wasn't Dubas. Achari was Dubas, but a lot of this was the previous regime and Hextall just totally burning this thing down. But I just look, man, like they got themselves in trouble and they are in trouble because they paid those guys. And, you know, would they maybe like a do-over on the Carlson deal? Yeah, maybe, but you get yourself in trouble when you overpay bottom six players, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. And you look at the Carlson deal as well. Like, by no means, from a player's perspective, obviously Eric Carlson is a very good player. He's having a good season with Pittsburgh. I actually didn't even realize he was playing yesterday. Aaron and I realized midway through After Dark, which is really good analysis from us. But you look at the guys in that deal as well, and it's like, okay, hypothetically, they don't have Carlson. Mm-hmm. And instead, you have Granlund and Jan Ruda, I believe is how you say his name, right? Two guys you can probably trade at the deadline here if you really wanted to, right? And take a little bit of money away. It's just like the way this is all gone, as if like the Penguins were one piece away from becoming the next Stanley Cup champions and all we needed was Eric Carlson. It's like, no, this is so many holes. So we'll see what happens. They seem to be falling from grace very quickly here.
It was stunning to see how poor they looked last night. I feel for Sidney Crosby. Getting to watch him live, though, is such a treat. And there's just so many little things he does throughout the course of a game that you're like, holy shit, Sid.
I know.
I'm just looking. He was 36% in the faceoff circle. Not a good night for him by any stretch. He was dash three on the evening as well. But there were a couple of times he went up against Leon Draisaitl. And the way, and it was, again, he was 36%. So I know this is just like confirmation bias or whatever, but I was sitting down low in the corner at Rogers and watching him on a couple of those draws, the way he would just snap it back on Draisaitl, like before Draisaitl had even flinched. I'm like, man, Leon is a good centerman.
Yeah.
And Sid would still just like the manpower of bang. And there was one play, I think it was either in the first or third period because it happened in front of me, where he's in the D zone and the puck gets rimmed around. And instead of just like putting his stick out and like jamming it, he flipped his stick over and like almost laid the hook of it. Pass me a hockey stick. Pass me a, anyone work. He like breaking everything.
Took
he
my like goes eyes out first.
He goes and like flips his stick around like that, yep, and used like the bottom hook to like knock it back over to himself. It was crazy, man.
That's so flat.
Is that the straightest blade I've ever seen?
Yeah, this is before? A no curve on this stick.
Unsigned. I have no idea. Number 14.
No, that would be number 94. This is signed Ryan Smith stick.
Oh,
as you can tell, it says Smitty's Edge. That would make sense.
Probably you should have looked at it.
And then there was another play where he was kind of like pinned up against the boards, or he had thrown himself up against the boards and the puck got rimmed around. And just as everyone was taking their steps over to him, he kept his stick up like this and just using the outside of his foot, boop, kicked it right over to a guy. And it's just like, man, even just the power in his leg to like kick that puck with like actual velocity right to a guy. And the thinking of like, again, it's coming to me. I'm up against the boards. I'm not just going to like hold it and then try to dig it out with my stick. I'm just going to quickly knock it over with my foot. Like watching Sidney Crosby play in person is so cool.
There's so obviously we had the Pronger stuff today. So I was watching a little bit of the 2010 Olympics, and obviously the golden goal is the thing that stands out the most. And I ended up going down one of those YouTube rabbit holes, and it was Crosby was doing an interview with Spin Chicklets, and they were talking to him. Whitney was asking him about the golden goal. And he was like, yeah, when I was 14, I used to do all these drills. Cause it's like a very unnatural goal that he scored, right? Like most guys would bring it in and go backhand or whatever, but he just shot it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, like when I was 14, I just used to do these all random shots. Just like wherever the puck was, what was where I would shoot it from. And it's just like, how did you get to that point where it's like you were 14 years old and you're using that in an Olympic gold medal game? And Whitney made the comment. He's like, oh, nice. It's nice to know that when in 2001, my Olympic dreams died when 14-year-old Sidney Crosby was just shooting pucks in his garage. But he's just one of those players. And the Penguins now are just one of those legacy teams, right? Like,
yeah,
they're coming to your town. You want to see them play.
Yeah. And it was great. So that wasn't by any means a vintage 97-87 kind of matchup, but still really cool to see them on the ice together. And just what stands out to me is both those players, Connor McDavid a couple of times had just wow moments where he ripped in. And with McDavid, I just feel like it's so apparent. And it's part of the reason why like the NHL needs Connor McDavid in a Stanley Cup final right away. Because I think for a casual fan to just catch him, it's so easy if you've never even watched the sport to see what McDavid does. And just be like, whoa, he's different than everyone. It could be your first hockey game ever. And you're like, that guy is the best player on the ice. Crosby, it's just so different. And there's like a nuance, a subtlety almost to his game. But if you know the sport, you appreciate just how damn good Sidney Crosby is and how insane his level of thinking is, how much higher he is than everyone in that hockey IQ department with the stuff he does.
Yeah, I completely agree. Somebody asked in the chat just before we move on.
Yep.
I can't remember who it was. It might have been Christopher Palmer. Who's in a worse situation, the Penguins or the Capitals? For me, I think it's quite clearly the Penguins.
See, and I think it's the Caps.
But the Caps are at least like Backstrom's probably done.
Yeah, so you're talking about the money. They're going to buy out Kuznetsov.
But at least you have the backup from that still. They've still got like a decent young ish team with like Connor McMichael, Tom Wilson. Like they're not like that far down.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not great by any means, but if I had to pick one or the other, I'd probably go Washington for the next few years.
There's just still a part of me that's like, I mean, Letang didn't look good yesterday though. Carlson didn't look good yesterday. Malkin just looks like a shell of himself. He doesn't have anything left in the tank. Like, yeah, maybe you're right. There's a part of me that wants to keep believing in that team and being like, man, they'll find a way to figure it out at some point. But I'm just not sure that they ever will.
Dylan Strome as well for Washington.
Yeah, they have some pieces. That's a good point. Okay, let's get into our moment of the game. It is brought to you by Douglas Mattresses. I was sleeping like a baby yesterday when that alarm went off this morning. Even though it was early, I still sprung out of my Douglas mattress. You can sleep just as good as me by ordering your mattress today at douglas.ca/OilersNation. They are handcrafted in Canada, ensuring the highest quality materials and fastest delivery to you. They were named Canada's best mattress on Canadian Living, and they've been loved by more than 200,000 Canadians, over 10,000 five-star reviews as well. Every mattress order right now comes with a free comfort sleep bundle that gets you two memory foam pillows with pillow protectors, one luxurious cotton sheet set, and one mattress protector free with any mattress order. Head to douglas.ca/OilersNation to get yours today. Jake says, Tyler never has a bad sleep, it seems. No, I don't, because I up my mattress game, dog.
He actually comes into the office and tells us how well he slept. That is a genuine comment Tyler makes pretty much every day.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not just an ad, folks.
It's all because of my Douglas mattress. Moment of the game, Zach Hyman keeps scoring. He might get 60. He's, dude.
No, I'm not.
Don't give me the side eye. He might get 60.
That was my thinking side eye. 60. What's he at? 50?
All right, let's do some math. Quick math.
No, he's not going to get 60.
So he's missed one game. So
there's 23 games left. He has scored 20 goals.
42 divided by 58, but he missed a game. So you can times it by that. He's on pace for 58.6.
He's on pace for 59 then.
Yep. Round up. Round up.
No, there's no way.
They're clearly just looking for him in every opportunity.
No, I also get
that
it.
Pass by McDavid was sick. Off the pads, right to him. Nasty.
Finally shoots. I just don't see it. Like, he's on an absolute tear right now. He's 10 goals in 8 games. Like, he's basically going to have to keep up that pace for the rest of the season. I think he'll get like 52 or 53.
You think he's only scoring 11 times in the final 22 games?
Yeah.
23 games. No way. I mean, you're out to lunch. Come here, I'm going to whack you.
You already almost did.
Yeah, I did. That's my bad. Well, keep your head on. I don't know, man. I just think he's going to be high 50s.
Sure. Like, maybe 52, 53 is a bit low. Like,
it is.
55, I'll say.
I'll say he finishes with 58. Right? What he's on pace for?
I don't know. I just can't see it happening. I believe in him. I believe in him. But there's going to be like, it's an like incredible pace to have to maintain. And there's some big games in there. Like, I don't know. Tough way to do it. And other guys are going to start scoring too. That'll take away from him a little bit. Like Nuge is going to have to probably bang home a few here too. Like,
can we play the 1-0 one was the breakaway Hyman or the 2-on-1 McDavid pad pass to Hyman. What was the 2-0 one or the second Hyman goal again?
Second
Hyman. That was the one off Draisaitl in the second. Which was a great play by Leon Draisaitl. But again, these are both just such quintessential Zach Hyman goals where it's like, first one, what does he do? Crashes the crease. Because he knows Connor's putting it low. He knows there's going to be a rebound there. What about this one? He just has a determination for the net and he's strong as hell. So even though that's Ryan Graves trying to keep him off the puck, he just goes hard to the net. And if it sticks on the ice, you can't deny him. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's just becoming his office now, right? Mm-hmm. And he's just there. And it takes skill just to be in those areas as well, knowing where to go on the ice. It's easy just, but he just goes to the net. It's like, well, if it's that easy, then why doesn't everyone just do it? Like, it takes a lot of skill to do what he does and to play with the players that he plays with. He's one of the most intelligent players on the Oilers for the way he plays the game, you know?
And you have to succeed with that much skill on the ice. I want to get into what you're all saying over at the Charm Diamond YouTube chat, brought to you by Charm Diamond Centers, proudly Canadian owned and operated since 1972. You can check out their large selection of Canadian lab grown diamonds, mine diamonds, and don't pay until 2025 with their instant in-store financing OAC, which means on approved credit. Charm Diamond Centers, home of the pro pose. For more info, go to charmdiamondcenters.com. Rusty is in. Hyman is elite. Hell yeah. There was one in here that I thought was good. Chili said if he's around 58, the team will get him to 60. And I think that's a part of it. When they got that 5-on-3 last night in the third period, they had one goal, and it was trying to set up Zach Hyman for the hat trick.
Yeah.
Even on an earlier power play, I thought they were looking for Hyman pretty hard.
And I think that will become a part of the story as well, is when he gets close, what happens. And this team's going to buy into it, him doing it. And we didn't talk about it, but Nugent Hopkins and Hyman helping out. The person stuck in the snowbank, stuck in the snow, whatever it was. Crazy stuff.
We talked about that on pre-gaming. If you were to like rank the Oilers in terms of like most likely to help a stranger in a snowstorm, are Hyman and Nuge not like 1 and 2 on that list?
Yeah. And then I would probably go Derek Ryan.
Yeah. Sam Gagne.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would sneak in Calvin Pickett at 4, and then I would put Gagne at 5. Stu.
I can see Stu.
It would be last. We don't have to answer that one.
We're not going to answer that. A lot of trade talk. Oh, Mulek wants us to talk. I like this. Wants to talk about McLeod.
That was nifty. Of the game.
That was nifty. See, he just took it and he just flipped a little shot. Just flipped it right up by Nedeljkovic's head.
It's hard to take you seriously with that stick considering how flat the blade is. I don't know. Just
what? Should I use this in one of my beer league games? Think I would do anything?
You'd be as good as me out there. The Kulak goal. I said to Aaron yesterday on the post-game show, like, I know he hasn't scored since like January 28th, but I don't think Ryan McLeod attempts that shot last season. I think he's found a new level of confidence within his game. Like, I think most of the previous years, Ryan McLeod tries to force that puck across to the guy in the middle of the ice and see if he can get it in himself, but he took matters into his own hands. Maybe it's because he had the good assist earlier in the period that allowed him to have this confidence again. But this is promising moving into the latter half of the season and into the playoffs that Ryan McLeod has this capability in him. I think we've all started to believe more and more in him throughout the season. I still think adding a third line center wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to allow him to play more of a winger, but he had a great game yesterday. One of his best in a while. So I was happy to see him get that. Also, there's a lot of talk of Wenberg in our chat right now.
I'm looking up what the hell's going on.
Trade related issues.
Whoa, he is. Kate Shefty from Seattle. Kraken coach Dave Haxtell said Alex Wenberg was held out of morning skate and not available tonight due to a trade related issue. Okay, we're going to talk trade stuff in just a second here.
I used to love him when he was on Columbus. He was on very underrated player.
What's the deal here? I want to
450.
I want to do rumor roundup.
Oh, I know.
Let's get to Pronger. I want to get to Pronger.
Let's do Pronger. I think that's what everyone's here for.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good point.
526 people here. We've never had this many before. I got a sneaky suspicion I know why they're here.
I think I know what you all want to hear. I'm going to take some wrist shots in the backyard while we head out to the Star Mechanical Guest Line, Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. It's been that way for more than 20 years. Local home experts, plumbing, heating, HVAC services. They do it all, and they even have 24/7 emergency services. You can contact them at starmechanical.ca. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Pronger. Guest today on Oilers Nation Every Day on the Star Mechanical Guest Line, but we can't call it the guest line because we're in person. Yes. You know him, Chris Pronger, former NHL defenseman, and you're here to talk a little bit about this bad boy, the Journey Whiskey.
The Journey. We're here.
Your brother Sean started this.
We're in Alberta.
It is an absolutely beautiful bottle.
Thank you.
We are going to talk a little bit of hockey.
Award-winning design, by the way. Award-winning.
Really?
Did you? Yes. You did the first draft yourself?
We actually did.
Yeah.
Really? We did the branding, the marketing, the liquid is all from the barrel to these lips.
Take us through the name, because I was perusing through your social media earlier, and I like the way you kind of have the shout outs to different players in their journeys and things like that. Why did you settle on this name?
Well, the Journey. If you look at the back of the bottle, our tagline is celebrate the victories, be proud of your scars, and enjoy the journey. And really, this is just about everyone's own unique journey in life. What's the first thing you want to do when you have a bad day? You want to pour a glass of whiskey and you want to tell somebody about it. You want to tell your family, your friends. You have a great day. You win the Stanley Cup. What are you going to do? You're going to pour yourself a glass of whiskey. You're going to tell somebody all about it. So it's really just about celebrating and enjoying life's journey. We're all on our own unique path. And certainly everyone's journey in life is going to be different. So this is a way for us to be a part of the conversation and tell a story.
So I guess what's the journey been for this? When did this all begin and how did you get to this point?
It's been a labor of love for the past 35 plus years, but a lot of research and development has gone into this bottle, this liquid, but really over the last 2.5 years or so, we started talking about doing this and then went live and started in Missouri in about 8 months ago. And now we're Missouri, Southern Illinois, New York, just got into Texas. We're in Ontario and now we're launched in Alberta. So those are kind of our five core markets and we'll be kind of expanding from there.
You didn't perhaps debate launching in Alberta in like July or something. You really wanted
it
to
would have been
March.
Nicer, but you know, with the oil getting off to a very poor start and now rocking and rolling and on a heater, so to speak. It's nice to be here right now.
It's celebratory whiskeys for
it is.
Fans right
it
now.
Is.
You were at the game last night. What
we
did
were.
You make of, for lack of a better phrase, the shit stomping? The Oilers.
Yes,
the
that was a oil stomping of sorts. Yeah, they look good. Pittsburgh, not so much. You know, I think there's some mitigating factors apparently as to the egg that was laid by the Penguins. But you know, they're an aging team. They've obviously had their runs, and their superstars are getting up there in age. So that's kind of how the league works.
Yeah, I want to keep talking about the whiskey, but we're on hockey right now.
Yeah,
and we can't have you on without getting some stories from 2006. Obviously, fan base hoping that this year's Oilers can give us the longest run we've had in 18 seasons now.
Yeah.
But when you think back to that 06 run.
Long time ago, right? 18 years ago. Think about that.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
We were definitely not doing the radar an internet show last time the Oilers went on that run. But when you think about the fan base and how electric this city was, what's maybe the first moment or memory that pops into your head from that run and just how the city bought in?
Well, I think just being in the building last night and seeing the energy and the vibe in the building. The passion the fans have obviously for the team. You know, you think back 18 years ago to the run we went on and just how the city came together, how loud the building was, arguably the loudest building I've been in. Just the excitement and the passion of the fans and just how everybody came together. And it was a magical run, that heartbreaker game 7, but you know, it was a tremendous learning experience and great to be a part of and great to see the city be able to showcase and come out and cheer us on each and every night.
Yeah, we got to experience it a couple of times, not going quite as far, but the Western Conference a few years ago was pretty fun despite getting swept. What was something you took from that 06 run into that run with the Ducks the following season?
I think just having that experience of being in the finals and kind of you hear people talk about just the noise and the distractions and things of that nature and just how focused you have to be blocking. You know, you get a lot of ticket requests. You get a lot of people wanting to, you know, come out, especially as you get closer to potentially winning.
Yeah.
And so you have to be able to kind of partition that and segment people off and really stay focused on the task at hand. Obviously, you're there to play hockey and win a Stanley Cup. And, you know, I think that year in Anaheim where we won, it was when I was here in Edmonton, we beat them in the conference finals to go to the Stanley Cup finals. So they had a bit of a chip on their shoulder. And you know, when I got there, it was just, it's cup or bust, you know, and it was a belief and a single mindset of everybody on the team that we were going to win. And everybody bought into what we needed to do to be successful, much like that team the previous year in Edmonton.
One guy that this year's Oilers team has brought in for a little bit of that experience is Corey Perry. Is it kind of funny for you to sit there?
Yeah.
Obviously, he was
young buck back then.
He was the young buck. What were your early memories of that young Corey Perry?
He's greasy, that's for sure. I think the, you know, Oilers fans will see him scoring within a 5-foot radius around the crease. And, you know, I think he adds that little bit of grit to And as I mentioned, grease around the net, you see some of the moves that he can make and his ability to kind of find a way to score goals. You know, I think that's that added element that they need in that third and fourth line, a little bit of production that you need in the playoffs to be successful. You know, your top two lines are going to probably cancel out the other top two lines. And really, it boils down to what that third and fourth line can do from a production standpoint.
You obviously went on runs with Philly. We just talked about Anaheim. And, you know, we've heard at times from players, you know, there's nothing like a playoff run in Canada. When you're in the moment as a player, do you feel any sort of difference, or are you just so focused on the task at hand that it's just kind of like whatever?
Well, I think you can feel it building. You know, I think that that run 18 years ago that you mentioned, you could feel it building with each playoff series win, and just the excitement in the community, and everybody getting behind behind the team and cheering us on. Electric Avenue was electric. It was pretty cool to see how fired up everybody was and how much fun everybody was having. I mean, that at the end of the day, it's entertainment, and then to be able to see everyone buy in the way they did and be able to soak it all up and enjoy the moment was pretty cool.
Last one I have for you on the 06 team, because I know people in our chat will be clamoring for this kind of stuff. Obviously, you, cornerstone piece of the blue line. The way Rolison played, massive. The spring of Fernando was just insane. Was there anyone on that team who, maybe if it wasn't even on the ice, maybe it was behind the scenes, so you think maybe doesn't get enough love for how crucial they were to that run?
Well, I think when you look at the goaltending, and obviously Rolly was a big part of it, but Juicy Markkanen, when Rolly got hurt in game one, you could argue we didn't really lose because of our goaltending.
Yeah.
He played incredible. You know, having not played in 2 months, you know, to be able to step in and play as well as he did was pretty impressive. You know, you talk about Pie's run, you know, I just think the depth and the belief that we had guys blocking shots with their face. We had guys, you know, just, you know, the will and desire to win up and down the lineup, guys coming in and out of the lineup. You know, everybody was willing to do their part and play, you know, bigger, small role, and be a piece of the puzzle to try to be successful and win that cup.
Edmonton was the only Canadian team you played for. This is a Canadian whiskey. So let's talk about your history with Canada at
the this is a very authentic Canadian whiskey. Two authentic Canadians, cornerstones of the product, my brother Sean and I. And, you know, growing up in Dryden, Ontario, this whiskey has been a big piece of our upbringing. you know, it's something we felt like when we were approached by Niagara Falls Craft Distillers, who's our partner in this, about doing this, we talked about the liquid and kind of what we would do and how we would change it, as opposed to some of the other ones out there in the marketplace that we used to drink and how we would improve it. And we've been able to do that, you know, a little note on how we came about the liquid. We would get shipped samples, not an easy process, as you might imagine. And we would FaceTime each other. He lives in California. I live in St. Louis, and FaceTime each other and try it and be like, okay, what do you like? What do you don't like? We did that 3 times. And then on the third try, we both took a sip, looked at each other on the phone. We're like, this is it. We found it.
So for maybe the whiskey connoisseurs out there, what are some of the subtle things they'll notice with this?
We got a little spice, a little sweetness. None of that harsh burn going down. It's a very smooth whiskey. A little hint of vanilla, hint of cinnamon. So we kind of touch a lot of the flavor profiles out there, but it sits on the palate nice. And by that, I got a friend of mine in St. Louis that likes to say the third sip is the closer.
There you go.
That seals the deal.
How long until this kind of gets across Canada and it's available everywhere for everyone?
We are working on that process. Yeah. I think we're working on BC and Manitoba next. Yeah. But you know, right now we're focused on Ontario and Alberta.
For the people watching who want to know where they can get their hands on it, I did the test. You can go to liquorconnect.com, type in the Journey Whiskey, and boom, the kind of interactive map on Liquor Connect can show you the closest liquor store.
Nice. Good to know.
Pick it up.
Good to know. We'll be at Sobeys, Safeway, Sundial, Wine and Beyond.
Pretty much everywhere.
I mean, we're ramping up.
Yeah. The closer for this, I want to talk a little bit about your history at the Olympics. It is crazy to think you played in 4 Olympics
for
Team Canada. But 2010, I mean, that one has to be kind of the crown jewel moment with the way things
are. Yeah, it ranks up there, certainly, of any victory that I've been a part of, any, you know, championship. Obviously, on home soil, for that to be the 25th gold medal and the most gold medals in Olympic Games for Canada was pretty cool. On home soil, as I mentioned, Vancouver showed out. It was, they did a great job hosting the Olympics that year and just, you know, to have friends and family there and to be able to celebrate as I mentioned, and in Canada with everybody watching the game, it was really cool to be a part of.
Celebratory whiskeys and the athletes.
It would have been nice to, and by the way, that is quite the journey I was on. Wasn't it?
Yeah, no kidding. obviously just the talent on that team was nuts, like for any Canadian Olympic team, but was there someone on that team who was maybe surprised you a little bit with maybe the habits off the ice or even on the ice, stuff like that?
No, I think, you know, one of the things that I think stands out to me the most is Patrice Bergeron was our 13th forward. And I don't know why they did this, but we would have an important defensive zone faceoff and they'd put him out for that. He hadn't played in like 8 minutes. And I'm like, this guy's used to playing 20, 22 minutes a night. Now he's riding the bench and we've got an important faceoff in our zone. And now you're going to throw him out there. Almost like it's like, well, we haven't played you, but here, go do this. I don't know about most people, but let me guess. As you might imagine, he lost the draw.
Yes.
And then it was like, well, I thought you were good on faceoffs, like, but you haven't been playing and you're used to kind of being in the flow and the rhythm of the game. It can kind of throw you out of whack. So you feel for guys like that, that are put in those positions almost for failure. You know, I think you look at that lineup up and down, young, old, you know, guys in their peak, guys, aging veterans. And, you know, my roommate was Drew Doughty. I think it was third year in the league.
Yeah.
So, you know, it kind of runs the gamut, but, it was a fun team to be a part of. And I think as you look at that locker room and kind of see the cast of characters and kind of what they've gone on to do, it's been pretty impressive.
And that journey at the Olympics ended with the golden goal. You remember what was going through your head as Crosby popped that in? Or is it just like one of those moments
I was,
where you black
you know what?
Out?
I was kind of standing up. My back was getting sore and I was standing up on the bench. You know, I think Pierre McGuire might've been in between the two benches. And when I saw it go in, he gave me a big slap on the back and we all ran. It was, you kind of did it go in and then you just seeing everybody celebrate. So it was pretty cool.
Pretty great stuff. The Journey Canadian Whiskey, again, Liquor Connect. You can look it up and find the closest liquor store to you. Just to wrap up on this, how cool has it been doing this with your brother? Does it almost in a way make it a little bit easier than doing it with like a business partner? I'd imagine you guys can be pretty blunt with each other.
We are very, yes. We are very blunt. Nobody's pulling any punches, but you know, it's been great. You know, I think we've hammed and nagged it really good. We've both got our positive and negatives about us, but no, it's been fun. We were looking to kind of do something together for a while, and when this was kind of thrown in front of us, we thought about it for a little bit and we're like, yeah, this would be pretty cool.
All right, Chris, appreciate your time today. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There you go. Chris Pronger on the Star Mechanical guest line, starmechanical.ca. Appreciate everybody tuning into that. Harry is in and says, biggest guest ever. And you guys blow the production. Beer League podcast, LMAO, whatever. I thought it was good.
just so everyone knows, you have to be subscribed to comment in the YouTube chat.
Yeah. So we're happy to have you,
Harry. So thanks, buddy.
Happy to have you as one of our 21,000 subs, Harry.
And that was the internet. Damn it. That was yeah. Me. I do not want to do that.
I can confirm, though, I was practicing my stick handling for a while. But a big shout out to Chris Pronger for swinging by. Obviously, he's in town promoting his whiskey, but happy that he gave Oilers Nation a little opportunity to chat with him. I wanted stories from 06. That was what I wanted from that. And I wanted to try the whiskey. I got both. I'm happy on both fronts.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. I have to be honest. Like, to get someone like that on this show compared to like where it kind of started, of just like the first episode, I've went back and watched it once. It's very funny to look back and see where the show is now. And so we wouldn't be able to have these interviews if you guys didn't watch every day, even you, Harry. So thank you, everybody. Yeah, you but it was cool. It was so cool. Like, and he's, like I said, he's massive. And I wish him all the best with his whiskey. I'm sure it'll do well because he is Chris Pronger.
A great career moment for me will be Chris Pronger calling my phone saying, "Hey, I'm at entrance 34. I think I am by the rec room, bar, and restaurant." And I was like, "Yeah, Chris, you're on the wrong side of the mall. You're going to want to get to the West End." And he's like, "I don't know how." So I was I was staring at a map on my computer being like, "Get back onto 87th Ave, go all the way down to like whatever that other." It was pretty sweet. And then in person, he is a presence, man. He looks like, this is a classic thing, but like he looks like he could still play.
Yeah, he definitely.
If the Oilers needed a penalty kill, like, I kind of want Pronger out there. I also just remembered a question I wanted to ask him. Damn it.
Well, his brother was there as well.
Yeah, Sean was there.
Sean, and I'm trying to find it right now, but they're going in. They're in Edmonton today, obviously. Mm-hmm. They have a tasting at Sobeys Newcastle on 127th Street, and then they're also in Sherwood Park at the Safeway there by the mall, Sherwood Drive. If anyone wants to go check it out themselves and meet the Prongers and see how big they really are, it'd be good.
Big shout out. I liked what he said about the 06 Cup run. First off, very complimentary of the city. Talked about the energy in the building last night as the Oilers routed the Pittsburgh Penguins and how electric it was. Like, he has love for the city of Edmonton.
He does.
Regardless of how things ended there. And I think enough time has passed that a lot of Oilers fans can sit there. And we even had one of the comments from Facebook that was like, "Hey, like, I didn't love how it ended, but I still recognize how important he was to the last great playoff run we've had. Like, we haven't had a run like that in 18 seasons. Have not been in the Stanley Cup final since 2006. And we don't get to that Stanley Cup final if it's not for Chris Pronger."
Yeah. And look, I don't think anyone sat here pretending that it ended nicely, are they? Like,
no.
It's unfortunate, but like, remember the good times. It's over now, right?
Yeah. Like, that's what I mean. Enough times passed, but I think you can look back and be like, "Man, I wouldn't trade that 06 Cup run for anything." Also, all roads lead to Connor.
Yeah. And Jordan Eberle in that case, too. Mm-hmm. I believe the pick.
In this case, all roads eventually somehow led to Ryan Spooner.
Thank goodness. Yeah. I'm glad that's how the Mark Messier trade ended.
The trade tree, yeah. There you go. Reagan is in. He's a giant dude, 6'6", but size 7.5 skates. Interesting.
I never looked at his feet.
I didn't either.
Something crazy that I never knew, but should have probably assumed. He played in 4 Olympics for Team Canada.
Wild.
98, 2002, 2008. Is that? No, that's not even close to it. Whatever. 2006, 2010. Mm-hmm. In 4 different countries. It was Nagano, Salt Lake City, where he won gold, right? And Turin in Italy, where they didn't win. They finished second. And then they obviously won in Vancouver. And just kind of a crazy career this guy had in every way possible. Mm-hmm. Now he's making a whiskey.
That is making a whiskey. All right. We still have so much to get to today on the show. It's an absolutely loaded edition of Oilers Nation Every Day. Let's talk a little bit more about the trade deadline, Liam. It's a rumor roundup brought to you by Tourism Jasper. Spring cabin properties are opening up soon. So if you want to get out there when the weather turns, you absolutely should. If you want to take in some spring skiing, Marmot Basin is still open. So even as the weather turns, if you're a skier, they got you covered out in Jasper. Go to jasper.travel/current deals to find out more. Alex Wenberg is being held out for trade-related reasons, Liam. He is a pending UFA, a $4.5 million cap hit. Does he make sense as a fit for the Oilers? I will go ahead and say no, he doesn't. If you're going to go upgrade that third-line center spot with a guy like Wenberg, I think you need someone who's going to be cheaper, unless you're going to get him twice retained. If he's twice retained, then I'm intrigued. What about you?
Yeah, I like Wennberg. I think he is a good player and would be a fit on most teams, but I don't know. Like
left shot, I prefer a righty.
I just don't see that being what the Oilers want. I think they would just rather pay a little bit more and get an Adam Henrique if you're already having to pay to get someone half retained twice.
He's not a guy whose name I see pop up and go, whoa, not the anymore. Oilers got to go get that guy.
Yeah.
There is someone who is now on Frank Saravalli's top 10, who is down in the mid 40s on Frank's trade targets before today. And that name is Tyler Toffoli. He comes in at number 6 on Frank's list. This is a guy who I look at and what you like to say. This is a guy I look at and go, anything you can. Try to make this happen. That is a slam dunk dream fit for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, that is that'd be a great addition to the Oilers. 24 goals this season, I believe, for the New Jersey Devils. This weekend kind of solidified them, right? In a way, like maybe if they go.
Them and Pittsburgh both had bad weekends.
Yeah, so I can see them both kind of blowing things up. 26 goals. Sorry, I mean, who wouldn't want this guy, right? I don't know what the price is. Like we said, a first round pick. Spoiler alert, we have a mock trade coming up. Calgary traded him to New Jersey for Sharangovich and a third round pick this year. They acquired him for a conditional first round pick from Montreal. So I don't know. Like his market's so interesting. He's kind of. Do you trade a young player for him? Do the Oilers have that? Do you sacrifice your first round pick to get him? Like you, either one of them, I'm fine with. I just don't know what the trade would be, but he would be everything the Oilers need.
Let's just quickly, Aaron, can we go back to the top 10 list? Cause I want to talk about that. Then we'll get into a mock trade that I'm interested to see how people respond to it. But Jake Guentzel is now up in the top spot. I don't know if I love Guentzel as an option for the Oilers. So just to compare some reports here. Guentzel apparently is going to take 2 A+ assets to get. Pierre LeBrun, someone just pointed this out in the chat, and I want to give credit.
It was Jake.
It's Rusty. Rusty's reporting Pierre LeBrun's reporting the price for Buchnevich is at least what Calgary got for Lindholm. Okay, if you're going to give up 2 A+ assets for Guentzel rental, and it costs you 2 A+ assets and maybe a little bit more to get Buchnevich, just go get Buchnevich and get the extra year. I also might like him more as a player for what the Oilers need.
Buchnevich, that is?
Yeah.
Over Guentzel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Guentzel, just the fact that he's definitely not going to be here next season is really the defining part of the whole thing for me, right? Like, if the only thing the Oilers needed was Jake Guentzel, then yes, you do. It doesn't matter if he goes at the end of the season. But they need more than that. And I just can't see a scenario where they can just pony up so many assets to get a guy who might be here for maybe 2 months at the worst case scenario, right? Like it just doesn't, the juice doesn't seem worth the squeeze when even take out Buchnevich, there's guys like Toffoli, Mantha, Tarasenko, Eberle, like there's 4 guys right there who's slightly worse, of course, but like are all very good in their own way and would make the good team point. Better. Jeez Louise, absolute mouthful.
Yeah. Someone says plus Guentzel. Owen says plus Guentzel is injured. It's a fractured finger, I believe. I don't think that's something that's really going to linger into the playoffs. So that's not so much my concern with Guentzel. It's just the fact you know you aren't bringing him back. And listen, you could say the same thing about Toffoli, but I don't think Toffoli's costing you a first and an A+ prospect. Like Guentzel might take your first and Broberg and then something to keep the money. I think you can get Toffoli for significantly less. So on that note, let's get into our mock trade for the day. It's brought to you by Service Credit Union. The trade is fake. The money you can win with the Service Big Share Contest is real. It's back for a 6th year and anyone can enter by saving and becoming a member with Service. Every $500 you save gets you 5 entries into the Service Big Share Contest. You can even transfer your existing savings to Service to win $1 million. For your chance to win $1 million, the contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required. For rules, visit service.ca/win. Here is our mock trade for today.
Here we go.
Tyler Toffoli, 50% retained, a first round pick, and Xavier Bourgault going back the other way. 50% retention. Maybe the Devils want a first and a low level prospect in this deal. If you're the Oilers, you up the prospect to Bourgault to get that money retained at 50%. And maybe it's even something where the Devils go out and let's say again, they go, we want the first. Edmonton says, Kate, we'll do the first.
Yeah.
We want a prospect. Edmonton says, okay, Tulio. They go, no, no, go up to Bourgault for us. And you just tell New Jersey, hey, you go, you take the fifth or fourth round pick and get the rest of this money retained then for us. Maybe there's some wrinkle like that, but would you do it if it if this was the deal? The fully 50% retained for Bourgault in a first?
Yes, I would do this trade. I'm
surprised how many people in the chat are in on this, but New Jersey paid a third in Sharon Govich for a full year of Toffoli. So now you're getting half a year of Toffoli and giving up a first. I think this is a fair price.
I think so too. And I think if the Oilers want to get a little cheeky with it, the Devils could also be a one-stop shop.
Who do you like, my boy?
Well, they've got a couple of defensemen in the UFAs that would probably fit that hole of being depth defenseman for the team.
Colin Miller.
Brendan Smith feels like the kind of guy Ken Holland would love. Also, former Detroit Red Wing. I could see them, if this is where they go, I could definitely see them being like, we'll give you an extra couple of picks if you are able to take a little bit of this cap as well. They have no retained... they have one retained salary slot, which of course is Chris Tanev. All three of those, if they were to take Smith, hypothetically, and Toffoli, gone at the end of the year anyway. It's interesting.
Tyler Mulick over in the Charm Diamond YouTube chat is all over one name. It is John Marino.
For four more years? Three more years?
4.4 mil. He's 26 years old.
Yeah, I mean, I would like him, but also, why would New Jersey move on from him?
Just looking to cash in?
Cash in on what? You got a 26-year-old at 4.4.
Yeah, what if you give him another first? What if you give him Broberg? Something like that. One of those.
Yeah, I guess. I just don't think they would move him. I don't think they're in the mode of rebuilding.
I don't think they, yeah. I think I'm with you. I don't think they'll move Marino. I'm not even sure if any insiders have, you know, even really brought that up. I would be intrigued by him. I think what's more likely, and again, it's been thrown in the chat a little bit today, but it was Harry who said Nick Jensen. And I think it's more likely to get a guy like Jensen than a guy like Marino because of the age and those other factors. New Jersey's not going towards a rebuild. Washington kind of is. Quadi said, Marino said no before, go away.
I kind of thought that as well.
But he has no trade protection, so I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, there's that to it as well. It's just, it'd be interesting to have a guy here who's openly been like, I will not play here.
But if you go back to that, he didn't want to sign here, not out of like a, I hate this organization. It was like a, remember, I think it was the stories like his brother did like a presentation to him on like every team's depth chart and where could crack things. And they like Edmonton's depth chart at the time, I think just had a lot of righties. I think they had Schultz at that point in the organization. It was like, you're not going to get your opportunities here. You got to go somewhere else. Right.
Curtis Lazar, do you bring Lazar back to Edmonton?
Yeah, I mean,
bill it insured park like he used to.
$1 million.
With Brett Paul.
Is he a righty?
yeah,
he's a righty. Fourth line center, Curtis Lazar. He's got one more year, $1 million. Not that, I mean, you love that at all, but
does he have more goals than Connor Brown this year?
Yeah, I would imagine so. Yep.
Six. It's just 19 points this season.
Lazar.
Is that a dream?
Lazar and Toffoli one stop shop. And then you go get.
Maybe. He has an extra year.
And then you also go get Dowd and Jensen. Just everything. Go get four players.
Why not?
Dare to dream, Oilers fans. But Tyler Toffoli is without a doubt at number one on my list of deadline targets for the Oilers. That's your guy. Go get him.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Toffoli. And the fact he's climbed up Frank's board so much is clearly an indication he's likely out of the door one of these upcoming days here. Who else do you like on this? Do we have a little bit of time?
I like Mantha.
Yeah, I like Mantha as well, but Toffoli and a couple other guys are probably... I would take Tarasenko over him as well. Henrik, I really like. Walker, I like. I just don't like the value of him. Riley Smith, I do also like. I just don't think it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move along because my guy D Cards in the chat dropped in a very nice transition. He says, love that there is zero goalie talk. The fan base has really been settled. Yeah, Ken Holland comes out, says he's not in the market for a goalie. First game since he says that, what does Calvin Pickard go out and do? Stops 22 at 23 against Pittsburgh. Made a couple of nice stops in the mix as well. A couple shaky-ish moments, but he got the job done again. And that's what he continues to do with his 909 save percentage. It was a bit of an ugly-ish run, but still, even though he had three straight games sub 900, he never gave up more than three goals in any of those games. And I think last night was also another example of this team playing good defensive hockey in front of him and not giving up a lot of grade A opportunities, which is good. That's what you'd hope a team can do in front of their backup goalie. I want to get to a quote from inside the locker room. It is the sounds of the oil, Liam, and it is brought to you by Snow Valley Aerial Park and Rainbow Valley Campground. The Snow Valley Aerial Park is opening May 31st. It's family fun all summer long. And attractions include the Aerial Tower, the White Mud Creek Mining Company, Target Golf, and the all-new mini golf. Liam, we've been clamoring for a new mini golf course in this city. Clamoring for it.
We have actually needed one of these for a while, so I'm very excited for this.
And if you're looking to come out to the city and do a little camping, you can take advantage of the over 60 sites and three comfort camping domes right here in the heart of Edmonton at the Rainbow Valley Campground. Here's what Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch had to say about Calvin Pickard and him being such a good candidate for the backup role. Knobloch said, quote, "I think the most important part is he's good at stopping the puck." Makes sense.
That's big.
He goes on to say another one is he's a great teammate. Guys love him. He puts in the extra work in practice. As a backup goalie, it's often harder. You sometimes get the weaker opponent, but often what gets unrecognized is you get the back-to-back game, the second game, which the team isn't going to play as well in front of you. You're traveling into a city and those harder assignments the backup goalie usually gets. He's been able to play really solid, really good for us for a very long stretch. Knobloch on if he envisions Pickard getting more work. He said, quote, "I just think the fact we play so many back-to-backs, his game total will be going up opposed to January where we are only playing three games a week. It's easy to play Stu two or even three a week. That's easy. We had no choice. It sounds like we don't want to, but just the way the schedule is, Picks will be getting more games. We're okay with that, especially with the way he's playing. Are you more confident in Pickard than you were heading into the weekend? Or is it the same?"
I will admit, I obviously took a bit of a turn on Friday with the goaltending stuff. Matt Larkin kind of swayed me a little bit on the idea of Jake Allen. And I think one thing we just all need to realize is Pickard is not coming into these games and being perfect by any means, but the job is getting done. And the guys seem to play a little bit harder in front of him 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
Which is probably a decent indication that they really, really like him and want to win hockey games for him, which is also another layer to it all when it comes into the playoffs. Like, it's likely that we see Pickard play a game in the playoffs in some point. Like Skinner has a bad
relief
game,
appearance, whatever.
Something like that. Okay. He's not going to stop. But I think the guys will play well in front of him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's enough for me to be like, okay, I'm comfortable with it. And Naeem is in the chat and he said, he's like, this team isn't good enough unless this goaltending isn't good enough unless they address the players in front of them. I think they will. I think they're going to go out. I think they're going to get another defenseman. They're going to get another forward and things will get better from there. The goaltending compared to where it was, I think we're actually underappreciating what Skinner and Pickett have done this season for this team. Mm-hmm. Slumps for sure, but boy, oh boy, it's a lot better than where it was last season.
Chris Johnston quickly says the Seattle Kraken are working through trade options for Wenberg, holding him out as a precaution. Rangers and Avs are two teams who've shown interest in Alex Wenberg. There you go. There's our Sounds of the Oil, the segment presented by the Snow Valley Aerial Park right here and Rainbow Valley Campgrounds. These two nice Edmonton companies that you see on your screen.
There you go.
I like holding on to this. Gives me something to fidget with while we do the show.
I can tell.
Yeah. There you go. Shout out to Snow Valley Aerial Park and Rainbow Valley Campground. Let's keep cruising along and get to the menu for today. It's delivered by DoorDash, where for a limited time, our Canadian listeners get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $25 or more. All you need to do is enter the promo code NATION25. New real life dropping later today, but there's one piece of content at the network that I really want to point people to, and it's today's DFO rundown. You can watch it over on the Daily Faceoff YouTube.
1:30.
at 1:30. So that's going to be going up there as a premiered video, but it's basically an hour straight of Frank emptying the notebook. He talks Oilers, Golden Knights, everything in the West. He's expecting an arms race between Edmonton, Colorado, and Vegas to some extent. But it's a great piece of trade deadline content up over on the Daily Faceoff YouTube. Another thing I wanted to put on people's radars here is the Robin Brownlee Memorial Auction. We are into week two. Big, big shout out to everyone who slid in a bid to the Tourism Jasper package. This new one, we haven't gotten a bid yet. What the hell's going on?
Why,
we need to discuss. The prize is a game night or date night with myself and Jay. You get to spend a game night with me and Jay. We are going to pregame at Greta, get you your drinks, get you your food. We are going to take you to the game as they play Buffalo on March 21st. We are going to sit in a loge table. We are going to have a handful of beverages. We're going to watch Edmonton hopefully win. You are going to get all of that. The pre, the post, the during the game, the tickets, everything. You get to hang out with Jay and I for a night. And the bidding starts at $200 on nationgear.ca. And it's all going to a great cause in support of the Brownlee family after we tragically lost Robin suddenly a couple of weeks ago. So go to nationgear.ca, hit the tab that says Robin Brownlee option, and you can bid and join Jay and I have a game night, date night with Tyler and Jay. That's fun.
Maybe I'll bid. I never get to hang out with you guys.
I had the same thought. How funny would it be they walk into Greta and just sitting right there. Hey, guys.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
It'll be good.
There you go. Nationgear.ca. And also a big shout out to our friends over at DoorDash. There you go. That's a wrap. We went a little long today, but that's fine. Okay. We had Chris Pronger on the show. That was cool.
Chris Pronger on the show. Trade talks happening. Two games to break down.
Shout out to Frank Saravalli who helped us get that Pronger interview as well. Shout out to Frankie. He'll be on the show Wednesday. Tomorrow, I believe, is a Gazdick day for us. So we're going Pronger, Gazdick, Saravalli.
Do we have Thursday yet? We've talked about Thursday.
We've speculated on Thursday.
We're not getting the one you said before for tomorrow.
No, we're not. We got Gaz on tomorrow.
Gazdick will be good. Frank, a couple of days before the trade deadline, of course, trade deadline show on Friday.
Yeah, streaming for 4 hours on the Daily Faceoff YouTube. And then when that's done, flipping over to the ON YouTube, where we will do a full breakdown of everything the Oilers got up to. So giddy up.
I'm excited for this week. Mm-hmm. It's been a weird couple of weeks with the trades. I hope not everything happens on like Wednesday or something like that.
I want it to happen Friday.
I need it Friday. I'm fine if it happens Thursday, to be honest, but we need some fish on the market.
Even late Thursday night, because then you can at least start the show Friday with some stuff to talk about. That's fine.
And if anything happens with the Edmonton Oilers, we promise we will do something shortly after that happens.
Yep.
Hopefully we catch it like we did the Ekholm one last year and we're like on board and ready to go. But it kind of works out this week because the games are so early that we'll all kind of be at the office through pre-gaming.
Yeah.
So it should line up quite nicely.
My entire schedule this week is built around being ready for trades and being to do whatever I got to do for whatever market.
Yeah.
Also, Shadow, we missed in DoorDash. New notebook coming out later today.
Ah, there you go. I wasn't sure if we were doing that today or tomorrow. So new notebook dropping over on the ON YouTube as well. Lots of content going, and we look forward to having you along this whole deadline week. Big shout out to Chris Pronger, Journey Whiskey. That was a fun way to kick off a big week here on the show. Thanks to everybody who tuned in, all of our partners. We'll be back tomorrow, Sherwood Ford Giant Game Day edition of the show at noon Mountain Time. Chat with you then.